Hi, my name's Tony, and I used to be an adventurer like you. But then my crush started paying me $100,000 for each date we had. There she was, the most beautiful gal in all the land, seated in the cafe on my way to work. Every day I see her beautiful smile as she nonchalantly makes conversation with those around her, like she had no care in the world. I knew she was a girl with the kind of money I could never afford to even look at. Yet, there she was, every day, just hanging out in some dusty cafe, sipping fancy drinks and hanging out. I was fascinated and drawn to her. I didn't even know her name, but what I didn't know was that she knew mine. Usually when I walked back home, she was already gone. Except for this afternoon. I was walking back from the peanut butter factory, still dressed in overalls, when I passed the corner where the cursed cafe was located. That's the actual name. It's not actually cursed. Although, I guess there are those rumors of ghosts and other foul occult activity taking place there. Anyways, I thought as I was nearing the cafe. What did it matter if there were rumors when I was the one cursed with seeing a lifestyle I could never have whenever I walked by and saw her there? As if by Murphy's guiding hand, on this fateful day, I decided not to take off my factory uniform, since I was planning to wash it later. I saw her sitting there at her usual spot, but instead of being surrounded by a crowd of socialites and buffoonish jocks, she was alone. Now I may not be smart, and I may not be traditionally handsome, but I could spot an opportunity when I saw one. I nervously made my way inside the cafe and went up to the counter.
Hi, welcome to Cursed Cafe. My name's Denise, serving you the freshest fruit-based coffee alternatives this side of the block.
A waitress greeted me warmly. I will have just a coffee, please, I replied while glancing over at my crush nervously.
Oh, that's Veronica over there, the waitress said, following my gaze. We all call her Ronnie, she continued. She's practically furniture. Now, as for your coffee, she continued, not missing a beat, we don't actually sell coffee here, so you'll be having our very berry espresso. Smoothie. Patent pending. I would recommend you take one over to her as well, she said with a wink.
What? I thought, trying to understand the information overload that just happened to my occupied brain.
Whatever. The very berry... O's? Yeah, I'll take two. We work on a pay-what-you-think-it's-worth policy, as studies show people are willing to pay more when people have no idea how much something costs, she stated in a vaguely helpful way.
Fine, here's $16 and a $4 tip, I said as I took the drink and backed away before I got a sales pitch for another drink. I walked over to her table and politely tried to grab her attention. Her eyes seemed to be locked with an intense stare on two sealed envelopes on the table. She slowly strolled her gaze up my body with that same intense look, and finally gestured over at the empty seat opposite of her on the table.
You finally got the courage to make a move, huh?
She bluntly asked. I felt my face turn red, almost instantly.
How did she know I was checking her out before?
I thought, as if reading my mind. She continued.
Oh, please. I see you walk past here every day, scoping me out. Wondering what it would take for you to go out on a date with someone like me?
Well, I was unsure how to answer, so I decided to just go for broke, since I was already this far. What could I lose? I thought.
I'm sorry if you took offense. It's just... I think you're absolutely gorgeous, and I've been wanting to say that to you since the first day I saw you as I was passing by,
I blurted out, gaining certainty as I continued.
I know it's not my place to ever assume that a lowly peanut butter smith such as I could come to know a lady of your magnificence, but I thought I would rather die rejected than not knowing. You know?
Suddenly, she got a really serious look on her face when she said, Two envelopes lay before you. You may choose to open envelope number one, in which case you will be allowed to keep envelope number two and its contents. But you have to execute the mission in envelope one. Are we clear?
What kind of mission?
I started to ask, when she said,
The details of the mission are inconsequential. First, you must agree to the terms. To execute this mission, you will be allowed to take me on a date. This is of cardinal importance, but how you execute the mission is up to your own discretion. You may now open envelope number 2. She finished. I was dumbfounded. What was happening? Am I in a game show right now or something? I nervously asked, looking around me for hidden cameras. Perhaps that cat over there is secretly recording me. I had no idea what to think. But I decided to open envelope number 2. I almost yelled out in shock as I saw what was inside. I had no idea what I was getting myself into. But inside that envelope, I found what seemed to be around $100,000, if I had to estimate. $100,000, she exclaimed with a slightly manic smile. That's right. You will receive $100,000 every time you go on a date with me. And that's in advance, so you can prepare for the mission. She continued as if all this was just common sense knowledge. Do you continue? Or walk away? She asked, staring into my very soul. I had many dreams in life, but never had I ever dreamed to be in this situation. I don't know what to do, I thought as I tried to do some mental math. If I worked really hard for the rest of my life as the peanut butter factory, climbing the industrial ladder, I would be lucky to ever see that much money again. The answer was pretty obvious. Take the money, right? I gently leaned forward and opened the first envelope, with the word mission written on it. Inside was a letter that read, Congratulations on making it into the Miss Veronica Munch Mission Courting Catalog. Subject will adhere to the following terms when taking Miss Veronica Munch on a date. Subject must agree to wear nothing but a Speedo for the first date. The subject must arrange for a date at a suitable location for the attire and ascertain that Miss Munch is properly entertained. Should subject fail to meet entertainment score of at least 9 out of 10, subject's courting application will be denied with immediate effect. The scoring will compromise of 3 categories: creativity, uniqueness, and skill. Your time starts now. We will contact you shortly. When I looked up again, she was gone, leaving nothing but the mission paper and the $100,000. Time? Courting application? Scoring? Money? What was this? What had I gotten myself into? I was having a mini panic attack when Denise appeared next to me. More juice? She asked with an all-too-knowing grin. Was she in on this too? I wondered, as I agreed to buy another overpriced drink I could sip on while walking home. I tried to fall asleep, but after an hour of shifting about uncomfortably in my bed, I decided to do the only logical thing you can do when you get recruited on some insane dating mission for $100,000. I rolled around in the money. It was more money than I'd ever held in my life, and represented a future that I could never have dreamed of myself. Maybe if I can do well enough, I can help my mom, who had recently been in and out of the hospital and needed a break financially. I stayed up all night working on my plan. I phoned in some favors from before I dropped out of MIT. I went to the mall, got a fancy haircut, found a Speedo that didn't make me feel too self-conscious, and rushed to find some of the other things I knew I still needed. At 5 p.m., there was a knock on my door, and I instantly became as nervous as I had ever been. I gathered my composure and opened the door. Good afternoon, I said as I joined her outside. Please, right this way, I said as I had her follow me into my garage. I pulled back a cover and revealed a custom-built Harley Davidson. I helped her put on a helmet, secured her purse in the satchel, and we were on our way to the beach. She was not dressed for the beach, mind you, but since I was required to wear a Speedo, I figured this was the most obvious place to go. When we arrived at the beach, I removed my safety gear, leaving me in nothing but a Speedo. Luckily, my job was mostly manual labor, so I had a body that could work it. There was a small jetty where my friend waited for us to arrive. On the beach, I had a transparent dome over a table set up with a private chef ready to start a dinner service. "M'lady," I said as I pulled a chair out for her and helped her get seated. "I am glad to be a part of whatever this is, if it means I get to talk to you," I said cheesily. She blushed, and for the first time since I spoke to her, I smiled a bit. Is this what $100,000 gets you these days? She asked teasingly.
But wait, there's more, I said,
getting up from my seat and venturing over to my friend waiting by the jetty. I proceeded to get onto his hoverboard prototype and, after flying around a bit, flew down to right in front of her on the beach, where I hovered and came to a stop gracefully. I invited her to try and had my friend explain how it worked. We had a lot of fun flying around over the water before we got back to the dinner service. I had a lot of fun tonight. Overall, I would rate this an 8 so far, she stated a little playfully. Look under your chair, I said as I watched a look of confusion on her face. She reached down and retrieved an envelope from under the chair. In it was a letter indicating a donation of $50,000 made to the local beach's Wildlife Conservation Society. Okay, maybe we can bump it up to a 9.1, she said. The secret category was compassion, and I know that the rest of the money went to your mother, who desperately needs it for her operations, she said, with tears welling up in her eyes. I think you're going to be a very strong contender, she said, as she opened up her purse and placed two more envelopes on the table in front of me.